great week of cover songs like this. At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So join us for Noon Tunes Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
This is WGTD HD serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning and welcome to Community Matters. I'm Marcia Connett, your host, and I have a very special guest with me today, Laura Sumner Kuhn. Laura is the Executive Director of the Racine Literacy Council, but I bet many of you remember when Laura was sitting in my chair here at WGTD. Laura actually did the Community Matters show. So, Laura, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Marcia?
I am well, and I am so glad you're here because we've got lots of things to talk about. But tell me about the little time that you, well, more than a little time, you were here doing Community Matters.
Well, Marcia, it was a very fun thing to do. I had been a journalist at the Journal Times for a number of years and then have been involved in nonprofit work ever since. And it was fun to be able to have conversations with people around the community about things that matter to the listeners. Something that I had missed from my journalism years, and so it was very fun to do that. And there's so much wealth in our community, in the arts, in intellectual endeavors, in community stakes, that it's all worth talking about, and this is a wonderful venue to do that. So thank you for having me today.
Well, absolutely. And as people may have guessed, we're going to be talking about your role as executive director at the Racine Literacy Council. And full disclosure, I'm employed by Wisconsin Literacy, which is a statewide organization that has members all over the state. And Laura and the Racine Literacy Council are one of our members. And so I'm going to kind of jump between my two hats this morning, between being the regional consultant for Wisconsin Literacy and being your host today. And I also have to add that the second literacy job I had was with the Racine Literacy Council. Back when Kay Greger was the director, she invited me to come work for them just, you know, 5-10 hours a week, doing some promotional things, helping them set up fundraisers, things of that nature. So I have and then for many years, Racine Literacy Council was my home base, even at Wisconsin Literacy. So I have a really special place in my heart for the Racine Literacy Council, but I think people will understand when we talk about all the wonderful things you're doing, why I feel that way, and hopefully they will as well. So how long have you been at the Literacy Council?
Not quite a year.
Oh, wow.
So not quite a year as executive director, but I had served on the board of directors. We're, of course, a nonprofit organization, and policies are set by a volunteer board of directors. And for about 3 years, I served on that board. Right during the time of COVID, which certainly affected our programming. There was a need for a new executive director. As Marcia, I know you know, our former executive director Stephen Musenden unexpectedly passed away a year ago last February, which left our organization in a lurch. And at the time, I was teaching as an adjunct in the teacher preparation program at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, and I decided that this was something I'd love to do and certainly could do it for probably the rest of my professional career. It blends everything that is important to me, and so here I am, and it's a fabulous journey. The people you meet in this place, which I feel is a magical place, is heartwarming and makes an incredible impact on my life and anybody's life who walks in here. Any one given day, you could walk down the hallways and see people from all over the world working together to better their lives. And it's a mutual exchange between tutors and students. So it's a wonderful place to be. It's been a fabulous year, and we're in a we're growing with some incredible new programs that I'm aching to tell you about. So,
well, great, great. Now, you had some stops along the way. Many of us remember you when you were at the Racine Journal Times, and then you said you got into nonprofit. What kind of work were you doing before you got to where you are now?
Well, I at some point as a journalist, you really strive to be impartial, but you're an observer of many things in your community. And then after a while, some of us have an itch to actually be an actor and make an impact rather than observe what's going on in our community. And that certainly is what happened to me. For me, I have a pretty strong faith life, and I wanted to do something that was more connected to what I felt were important values in my life, in serving others, mostly social justice issues. So I left the Journal Times to work for the Racine Dominican Sisters, and I was their communication and director of development for about 5 years. I am a Racine Dominican associate. They have lay associates, people who believe in what they stand for, which is mostly social justice issues. I remain in contact with many of the sisters, and that was fabulous work. I had an opportunity to work with people all over the world and who were Dominican, and that was very special to me. And then I left there to help create San Juan Diego Middle School with Mike Frontier and a group of people. I was on the board there, and they needed a development director. So in 2003, I became the development director for San Juan Diego Middle School, and we worked to build that school until the bubble burst in 2009, and we ended up closing the school. At that time, it was completely supported through philanthropy, and our budget was $800,000 plus a year, and that in that economic downturn, it was impossible to keep that going. So the school closed. It was a nonprofit school run by a volunteer board of directors as well. And at the time, I thought, well, we had gone so far in creating opportunity for people to have a choice in where they wanted to have their children attend schools, that I didn't want to stop that work. And so along with a handful of people, we started SOAR of Racine, which was Scholarships, Opportunity, and Access in Racine. And it was a scholarship organization that created a network of private schools who were interested in expanding opportunities for people who couldn't afford tuition in their schools, but also who made a commitment to wraparound services for their students. So they committed to allowing us to have tutors and mentors come in and work with their students one day a week and help provide that safety net that all students need, especially those who face some extenuating circumstances in their family's life, mostly that of poverty. And we were very successful in doing that when school choice became available in the Racine area. I helped those schools administer that program. And it has, you have to do a lot to be a choice school. There's a very rigorous state compliance that schools have to meet in order to do that. And so I worked with the schools to understand what those things were and support their efforts to become choice schools and model for them the kind of professional development that I thought their teachers needed in working with populations of diversity and populations that were in poverty. And we had a network of 10 schools, and I think they all did that fairly well. So after a period of time, I told our board of directors, we were a standalone nonprofit, that we had worked ourselves out of a job, or were nearly doing that, and that should be the goal of every nonprofit. And so we closed SOAR of Racine in June of 2017, and I turned to working, I had worked on a master's in the meantime, and a couple masters and a doctorate in education policy. And so I thought, I just want to finish my doctorate and maybe do some more adjunct teaching at Parkside, which is where I was when this role became available.
Wow. That is just wow. You know, you are such a shining example of the opportunities that are there because people like you cared. So this is just really exciting to hear. And I knew bits and pieces of this, but I'm also thinking about how this is so interwoven. Mm-hmm. The Racine Literacy Council and the Dominican Sisters have partnered for years and years and years with the Dominicans, providing some financial support, providing a lot of volunteers. I sat on one of the committees at the Racine Literacy Council with Sister Joyce, who was very active when she was still on this earth with us. And it's just wonderful to see that type of thing happen. So, oh my goodness, that's amazing.
Well, you know what? I'm always astounded at the beauty of people in this community, and we have so many. You know this, Marcia, but our listeners may not know this, that the Racine Literacy Council, much like other literacy councils in the state, and I believe there are 70 of us we depend mostly on volunteers that we recruit and train and screen in order to teach their neighbors in need. And so we're really a neighbor teaching neighbor community. And the wealth of knowledge that our Racine area residents have and are willing to share with each other is incredible. So for instance, when I moved into this position last summer, COVID had done a real number on many nonprofits, and we were no exception. Certainly because we serve people who are more likely to be under-resourced and low income. They are more likely not to have computer skills or computers or computer connections. And our volunteers tend to be, we have a heavy population of retirees who are our dedicated volunteers, who also might have limited digital access and digital skills. And so while other organizations and businesses during COVID were nimbly transferring some of their programming to online and Zoom connections, that is something that was much more difficult for an organization like ours for those reasons I've just described. And so some of our programming really diminished during those 3 years and almost disappeared. So for instance, we had always in the past had an adult basic education program for people who needed to increase their reading and writing abilities or who were working toward getting a GED, had not maybe graduated from high school. But that program disappeared virtually during those 3 years of COVID. And that was a desire for me when I first stepped into this role to really boost up. And fortunately, I knew a couple of retired teachers who are good friends, and talked with them about, what do you think about your ability to help me build a program up for adult basic education for adult learners? And they were very eager to do so. And we've served 50 people in that new program this last year. We're now an officially recognized GED preparation site with the state. We're looking to grow that program. And we have a growing number of adult basic education students now. Many of our English language learners, too, are transferring to that program because they are now proficient enough in English to be able to take on schooling that they didn't have an opportunity for in the past. So I'm very, very happy about that. But in our doing that, we also noticed that there were young parents with many children working very difficult jobs who were trying to make the effort to come to class. They'd have to find sitters for their kids. They'd have to feed them and leave them after their jobs at night to come 2 days a week for adult basic education. And they were already tired, and it was very difficult for them. For a small segment of our, well, not so small segment of our adult basic education, that experience only fed my thought that we needed family literacy here. And so this year we're starting a new program. It's a family literacy program where we serve the whole family. It will be in Racine, in Burlington, and Waterford at the public libraries. The idea is that we take in a family that gets referred to us or is self-referred. So we're working with the schools, we're working with churches and other organizations, Racine County Human Services, for instance, as well, to identify families most in need of this kind of support, where we will interview the whole family, find out what their individual needs and goals are. That includes the parents and the children. We will meet with the children's school. That's a condition of a family entering our program, that we can also talk with their school teachers and their school administrators, or maybe their caregivers if they're young children in daycare. We will identify goals with them that they have. Some might be to learn English. Some might be to get a GED. Some might be to improve their learning in a particular area that allows them to get a better job. For the kids, it will be lifting their own academic skills. Then we will match every person in the family, that's the ultimate goal, with a volunteer tutor that we recruit and screen and train. The Racine Family Literacy Program will be in two places. It will be at the Racine Public Library from 10 to noon on Saturdays, starting in September and running through December, and then we pick up again February through April. So 10 to noon on Saturdays at the public library. And then Monday evenings from 5:30 to 7 at the Geneva Street Cop House, we'll serve a few families there. Then in Burlington, our program, where we already have an English language learning program in Burlington, will run on Tuesday evenings from 6 to 8. And then in Waterford on Wednesday evenings from 5:30 to 7. So our hope is to serve about 60 families. We're registering families right now. We're recruiting tutors. And of course, you can imagine, if we are looking at serving 60 families and we want to match everybody with a tutor, that's hundreds of tutors that we're looking for.
Oh my goodness, yes.
We know that we'll have to ramp up through the fall to reach our goal, but we think that this could have such an incredible impact because we've seen it in our other programs. So our largest program is an English language learner program. We served more than 100 people in that program last year. And all of them once we've tested them. We did a pre-test and a post-test, have increased their English proficiency in listening and in speaking and in writing in this last year by at least one level, if not four. Wow. And that's a huge adjustment, and that opens up tons of opportunity for somebody, right? So we know that having an outside community person invested in you once a month, or once a week, I rather, to be teaching you, and anyone who can read and write and went, has a high school diploma and has done any kind of homework can learn to tutor a child or an adult. We match you with something that you'd be comfortable with at a time frame that you'd be comfortable with, can have a tremendous impact on somebody. And it, that's the magic of this place.
It is indeed magic. I totally agree with you. Now, you had mentioned early on that a lot of your volunteers are retired, but you don't have to be retired to be a volunteer.
Oh, absolutely not. We have young people. We have young people who are, it's just the nature of life, right? So many people who might be in their 30s and 40s and have families of their own are already stretched. But we do have people in that age range who are working and come after work one day a week and spend a two-hour period with a tutor. So in most, or with a student, in most instances, our tutors dedicate one day a week, 2 hours a time, mm-hmm. to work with their student. And that it shows great progress through the year for that student. So it's not a huge commitment. You know, somebody who could dedicate 12 weeks in the fall from 10 to noon in Racine, or 2 hours a day, you know, in an evening in Burlington or Waterford, can have a substantial influence on a student that's learning. And let me give you an example. So we have a young man in Burlington who came to us in February, who had some special needs. He had graduated with a certificate of completion from high school, but his reading ability was still lagging where he would need it to be. And his mother contacted us because he has some cognitive issues that he's dealing with. And we had happened to have, and this is the magic, we happened to have a volunteer who wanted to start doing something with us. She lived in Waterford. She happened to be a retired teacher. We matched her up with this young man, and within 4 months, he had his first job. And he's working in Burlington at a local establishment that hired him to do maintenance. And he and his mom credited this tutor because in that short time, she helped him raise his reading level enough so he could read the training manual and get a job. You know, and so, and it's just wonderful to watch. So now he's making $18 an hour. He can think about getting his own place. You think of the opportunity that opens up for somebody. It's enormous. And they continue to work together. He's continuing to work with her. We are finding in this year that there are many people who have some disability who have been forgotten. Mm-hmm. They come to our door because they either want to get a job and never had one and just didn't have the attention to be able to get one, or they want a better quality of life because life is limited.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In the past, we didn't serve people with special needs here, I learned, which I thought was
right.
a difficulty for me, because I think everybody can learn. And lo and behold, we had a special education teacher who retired. She actually lives in Burlington. She has been volunteering with us over the summer, and she has agreed to lead tutors who wish to work with people with special needs so we can increase their quality of life. And that's an emerging program I see happening here. In the meantime, certainly we have learners who don't have special needs. We have people who are underemployed and under-resourced because they don't have good reading skills or good math skills, and they wish to increase that.
Okay, we're going to just take a second here because I want to talk more about how you help people become great tutors. But we just want to remind people that you are listening to Community Matters. My guest today is Laura Sumner Kuhn from the Racine Literacy Council. And we're talking about some volunteer opportunities for many of you who may be listening today in incredible ways that you can impact the lives of the people that you work with. So if I come to you, Laura, and I say, well, you know, I'm not a teacher. I've never worked. Maybe I taught Sunday school, but I'd really like to do this. Where do I start? What do you
say? First of all, we would have you fill out an application and we talk with you about what you've done in the past, where your skill set is, where you think you would best want to help somebody, because most people are working one-on-one, right? So do you want to assist in our adult basic education classes on Tuesday and Thursday night from 6 to 8 o'clock? Or do you want to help an adult basic education student who needs to come during the daytime? We have some people who work maybe second or third shift jobs who would like to work with somebody during the daytime. Or would you like to work with an English language learner? And I have to tell you, we have an influx of refugees right now from Cuba, from Ukraine, from Honduras, Colombia. So we're serving a refugee population as well as immigrants new to this country. Would you like to help an English language learner? Or are you more likely to want to work with a child in our family literacy program? So we'll gauge what your interests are. And then we look at what your time availability is, because that will have to match where our need for tutors is. And then you go through an orientation to learn a little bit more about us and about adult learning. But then we provide training for you ongoing through the year in spurts. And we have a curriculum that we work with in all of those programs that help guide you. So we'll let you know, you know, we'll walk you through, for instance, the Ventures series that we use with our English language learners, how to use that material, where you can find other resources, how you can set up a lesson plan. And it's very simple. A lesson might go like this. So you spend maybe 15 minutes talking, just having conversation, finding out what's happening in your student's life. Partly if you're an English learner, that is forcing you to speak in English. Mm-hmm. And to use that skill, and conversational practice is probably the biggest need among all of our learners. If you're an adult basic education student or a family literacy student, we are learning more about your needs of things that are happening in your life. Maybe you're saying to us, I had this, things were great, but I'm kind of nervous because my kids' conferences are coming up with their teachers, and I'm not really sure how to approach that. So we could be talking about things that they should be asking, or mm-hmm. things that they would want to know, from things that they want the teacher to know about their child. So there are all different ways that tutors can be helpful, and it's pretty much just being neighborly, right? Having an interest in somebody and wanting them to succeed. And we all carry with us tons of experience and opportunities that we've had and networks that we have made that perhaps the people we are working with do not have. They don't have that social capital. They don't have that connectivity in some instances because their skill set hasn't allowed for it, or their experience has not allowed for it. So we have a lot to offer in that regard, coaching and whatnot. So it might start there, and then we would maybe turn to a lesson that we've prepared in one of the curricula that we have, either the Journeys, the book for an adult basic education student, or we would turn to Ventures for an English language learner. We might also segment a part of the time to be reading and writing together. So write down something with a writing prompt. Or we have people who are reading books together, so they'll stop and read a chapter of something and talk for comprehension. And we might have you work in breakdown math. So you might be a person who wants to have a trade that requires you to know more math. So we're going to spend a great deal of time on math with you if that's your ultimate goal. So all along the way, we have things that can help our tutors learn how to do that and set up their lesson. And we have very creative tutors who come up with all kinds of things on their own because they're out there living, right? They know how to do this stuff. Exactly. So it's not rocket science. And obviously, we have a network of connection here. So if somebody does come across something that is happening with their students, they can tell us and we can maybe hook them up with the right resources or the right person who can lead them on to the next step.
You know, so often I have heard your tutors and other tutors throughout the state say, I get more from tutoring than I feel like I give to my student. And I think, you know, you can't stress enough how much we as volunteers receive from the students that we work with. And I know you have students and tutors who've been together for many, many months and even years who visit each other's homes, who have become friends, who share family events. That's kind of the extra that comes with being a volunteer, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. And not only that, our tutors are learning.
Yes.
Our tutors are learning. So how can you not learn when you have refugees of war that you're working with and you understand what they have gone through, or you understand the culture that they've lived in? How can you not learn from somebody who has felt it was so imperative for their well-being that they've left their country, mm-hmm. their home country, and have left their families in some cases, and is trying anew here? We do a citizenship class to prepare people who have, in general, they've been here for a couple of decades, and they're now ready to take the citizenship test to become U.S. citizens. And we do an 8-week class that two retired Racine Unified School history teachers do for us, and they do such a fabulous job. They do an 8-week course, and many of our tutors who have students who are taking that course say, I don't know that.
There's 100 questions about American history and American life that have to be answered. They also have to be able to read and write in English to be able to pass their citizenship test.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a big deal.
So there's this really wonderful learning exchange that happens automatically through the process of tutoring a student. That is symbiotic, right? Both parties are learning and growing in ways they never thought of. And you don't have to learn from somebody who's just come from another country. I think many tutors that are able to be volunteers sit in a position in our community that is much different from people who are under-resourced. And they may not understand the hardship of simple things like transportation when you don't own a car. Mm-hmm. They might not really think about what differences might be available to you if you're a person of color, or what kinds of things you do in your life to keep you and your family safe when the only home that you can afford is in a neighborhood where there is a lot of gun violence. Mm-hmm. So there is some learning that happens and a kind of empathy that grows from people who normally would not necessarily befriend somebody in those circumstances or have a chance to meet somebody in those circumstances who has a different experience of life in our community that needs to be shared. And I think that's really important. The other thing I think is really important is, yes, most of our English language learners speak Spanish, not all of them. Mm-hmm. But there is 10% of the Racine County population speaks in a language at home other than English, according to the last census. 10%. So 1 out of 10 people.
Yeah.
And much of that language is a Spanish-based language, is Spanish-speaking people. And so I felt very strongly that literacy should be two ways. So we are giving Spanish classes this summer. We have a volunteer teacher. She's wonderful. And she is going to teach in the fall as well. It will be starting in late September, and it is on Wednesdays in the later afternoon, early evening, mm-hmm. where people can learn Spanish.
So I could just sign up and come?
Yes, you can.
Is there a cost?
Well, we charge our Spanish learners $20.
Okay.
It's a one-time fee.
Oh my gosh, that's a deal.
And we do the same for our citizenship students. They pay a $20 one-time fee. But we've made a decision just this last week that all of our other programs are free.
Amazing. I will be very anxious to hear how that works for you. Because I know throughout the state, people struggle with, do we charge people who may find it a barrier to attend? Do we let them pay $1 a week? Do we? I think is absolutely amazing.
After a year, I decided that was the most prudent thing to do, because it is a barrier for some people.
It certainly can.
Even though we say to them, you can pay that $20, it's a one-time fee, you can pay it any way you want. $20 is a lot of money for somebody who's not making any.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so that's a difficulty. So we just decided to drop it.
Okay.
And I think that's the right thing to do. You know, obviously, then we have to raise money in all different kinds of ways.
Yes, you do. And
that is a great deal of what I do here. But I think not to charge people for books, not to charge people for a registration fee is really important in order to help them get the learning they need to get them in a better place. You know, our mission is so that people can be engaged citizens in our community and live life to their fullest potential. So in every way possible, we're trying to shape that. And it's more than learning an academic subject, and it's more than learning English. Most people come to us because they want a better job or they want higher engagement in their community. And so when we meet with students who come to us, we talk about their ultimate goals, mm-hmm. because maybe to find a job, but we have huge networks. And so, for instance, on Friday, I am taking one of our students who's a Ukrainian refugee to an interview for her first job here.
Wow.
And we're hoping that she will land it. So our tutor will be coming in tonight. She decided to do an extra day to role play an interview. I mean, so that's the kind of thing, things that are relevant in people's lives that make their lives different.
Most definitely. Well, in the last few minutes we have left, can you talk a little bit about how I could get training? Now, I know you said you have a training coming up. And for those who are maybe listening to this after the fact, there are other trainings that you do. So what kind of training have you got for tutors happening?
So we have a training coming up Monday, as a matter of fact.
And the date is?
Monday, August 14th. It's 5:30 p.m. at the Racine Literacy Council. We're at 734 Lake Avenue in Racine. The training will end at 7. You can come and get an orientation about who we are, fill out an application, and we'll start hooking you up with somebody. And we start in September. We also have a training August 29th, which is a Tuesday, also at 5:30. And we'll have training all through September, but better now if you could do it, because we're starting all of our programs this September, and we have people waiting.
Now, is this training one-on-one? Is it a small group? Is it classroom
it's
style?
It's a group training. It's a okay. group training. And right. then we meet with you one-on-one.
Okay. All right. So I get some hours of training to begin with, and then you kind of help me ease into. Do I get to watch other people tutor as part of my training?
Yes. We try to have you observe when you start a session. For some people, they're totally comfortable and don't feel that they need that.
Sure.
So they'll just, depending on what they've done in the past, they might just jump in. But, you know, we're not an institution. We're very individualized, both for the student and the tutor. So we'll find a good fit for you.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. And I know you mentioned, even though I might do lesson plans, the materials are there for me to work with. So I can do lesson one and lesson two and lesson three right out of the books. But I can also get creative if I want to and add some other things that might help flavor up the lesson, or something that maybe is an immediate need that my student has.
Absolutely. So we had a student who had no transportation and needed to learn how to take the bus. We rode
right.
the bus. But even just getting her used to the bus, you know, taking pictures of the fare box and the pass, and our tutor actually hung a yellow jump rope from a closet door in the hallway and put chairs in the hallway so she could teach her English learner how to pull the rope to stop at her stop. So people are really creative, and it's
no
wonderful.
Kidding. Oh my goodness. All right, give us the phone number people can call if they have questions.
Sure. It's 262-632-9495. If people wish to be a tutor, they can call me directly. It's 262-977-2871. You can also find us on the web. It's the RacineLiteracy.org.
Okay.
So RacineLiteracy.org.
This is just absolutely fascinating, Laura. I am so glad that you could join us today, both for the folks who are thinking they'd love to be tutors, as well as some of our listeners who may think, gee, I'd like to read better, I'd like to speak better English. So I so appreciate you being with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Marcia.
And thanks for listening to Community Matters on WGTD 91.1.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Here's the WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service. We are expecting about a half an inch of snow today. Highs will be in the low 30s. For tonight, a slight chance of snow before about 10 p.m. Lows will be near 30. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-30s.
You're listening to WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio.